Or, if you like, we could turn over to Judges chapter 16. Why don't we do that? That might be easier to find. And in your book for your notes, you've got some notes there on dying to do better. Dying to do better. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life where you'd say, I probably could have done better. Probably should have done better. I really ought to have done better. I remember one day as I was thinking about this, I'd just been at Bible college. You know, when you go to Bible college, you step up into the world of spirituality, don't you? But I was not there as a student, I was there as a lecturer. So that must make you at least another step higher than that, do you expect? Maybe not. Well, I'd finished at Bible college and I decided I had to go down to the shop and check some things out down at the shop there. Is it right if I put this in my... Can I just close that as it is? That's not going to stop. Beauty. I decided I'd go down to the shop afterwards and so I went to do some shopping afterwards and of course I had my tie on. And because, again, I was spiritual and they kind of make you spiritual. In fact, I had my jacket on as well and I thought, I won't bring my whole jacket, I'll just get the concept. So I was there walking down by the shop and I was very impressive. But you know, for spiritual people, as I was feeling that day, there are some times where you just feel like, I just want to find the switch and turn it off and go, I'm actually not feeling spiritual. Have you ever felt that? Where you don't want to be the spiritual guy? Maybe there's a pressure that comes with that, is there, with being spiritual? Maybe there's some sense of obligation or something like that. So I walked into the shops and just without really thinking too much about it, maybe I thought more than I should have about it, I went, you know what? I've got on this tie and my tie just happens to have John 3:16 on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his own. It's my spiritual tie. I had it all happening that day. I was very spiritual. And so here I had my spiritual tie and I went, you know, I really don't feel like being a testimony right now. So I'm ashamed to tell you this, but what I did was I said, you know what? I'm just not in the mood to feel like I have to save the world today. And I closed my jacket over my tie so they couldn't see it. I don't know what I was teaching at Bible college that day. Maybe it was personal evangelism. I could have done better, would you say? I think I failed in my walk that day. You see, there is something back there. It's not a switch. There is something that turns us from the spiritual man and turns the spiritual man off. Do you know what the alternative is? It's the carnal man, the flesh life. And there are times where we choose to walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Have you ever been there? I should have done better. I should have been in the spirit, but I was actually in the flesh. Do you know, God is gracious even to fleshly carnal sinners like me. He really is. You know what happened that day? It was God's biggest rebuke to me. I was in a shop looking at something, and there was the shopkeeper on the other side, and she looked at the very top of my tie, which was showing there, and she said, "What does that say?" Like, fair dinkum, I can't even hide my verse, and I can't even hide the fact that I'm a Christian, and I got found out. And I got sprung, and I'm a Christian, and I got to share the gospel with her. And that was wonderful. But I was in the wrong frame of mind when I started. That was God's rebuke to me. You know what? We can do better. I'm sure every one of us would say there are times in our lives, if you're a Christian, when I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the flesh. When I'm not in fellowship with God like I really should be, I might not be all the way down the road going the wrong direction, but I'm perhaps not all the way where I could be if I chose to be there. Well, tonight we want to look at somebody who was like that, dying to be better. Judges chapter 16, if we read from verse number 20, and what we want to do is you follow along as we read. You know the story of Samson, don't you? Many of you will be able to say, yeah, I know about Samson. What was unusual about Samson? Have to speak up? His strength. All right. So Samson was especially strong. Was there anything else that was significant about Samson? He had long hair. What was it that made him really special? He was a Nazarite. All right. Now, being a Nazarite didn't mean that you're from Nazareth. Jesus was a Nazarene from Nazareth. Samson was a Nazarite. That means he was under a special oath. And some of the Jews, if they wanted to separate themselves to God and be specially given over to the Lord, they would take the law of a Nazarite, the oath of a Nazarite, and they would fulfill certain things. There were certain things they weren't allowed to eat, certain things they wouldn't touch. And one of the things that they would do is they would leave their hair grow, and it would be a testimony of the fact that they were specially God's people. It sounds a lot like what God's done for us in a way, isn't it? He makes you a special testimony of the reality that you are God's people in a very special way. He has separated you unto himself. Well, we know through all the things of his life, there was somebody that was his significant other. Who was that?
Delilah.
Verse number 20, we're going to meet her, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. We remember how then they took him down, they put him to make fun of him, they make some sport out of him. They were going to watch him down there amongst all the bigwigs as they gathered to worship and thank their God for bringing them Samson. And he put his hand on the pillars, didn't he, the great pillars of the wall. And we remember that as Samson pressed there, the walls fell down, the temple fell down. We read in verse number 30, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we are thankful for the privilege to come to camp. We're thankful for the fellowship we can enjoy. We're thankful, Lord, for the enjoyment of the fun and the times together. We're thankful, Lord, for other godly Christians we can mingle with, but we're thankful for the Word of God that we can consider. And Lord, we ask that by your Word you would stir us this evening. We pray, Lord, that you'd challenge concerning spiritual needs in our lives. You'd give us a willingness to draw nearer to you and to be your people as you purposed to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to step back in time in Samson's life, and I'm going to ask you to look at a few verses with me through the book of Judges, just through these last couple of chapters, as we go through Samson's life and consider some of the things that actually took place in his life and were the lead up to Samson ending up dying there. In the captivity that he ended in. So would you turn back to chapter 14 with me, please? Chapter 14. Samson has been... his parents have been told that he's to be special, that he's to be a Nazarite from his birth. He's grown up very careful in the way he lived. And then in chapter 14 and verse 1 we read, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." The word "saw" there isn't suggesting that he just saw somebody on the side of the road or he passed by somebody. The concept there is that he saw and decided that he was going to develop a relationship with this somebody. You know, there's something that happens as young people grow up, and when you come in the start of senior camp to the time that you're the upper end of senior camp, the way you see young ladies changes, doesn't it, guys? To start with, you get girl germs and things like that, and by the time you're finished with senior camp, there's a different ideology that's going on when you see the young ladies across there, and you start thinking about, oh, this one's pretty special, that one's pretty special. You know, what we see here in Samson's life is he was looking in the wrong places. You see, he's gone down to where the Philistines are to find himself a special young lady. What we want to talk about for a minute here is choices. Choices. Samson had every reason to be a testimony for the glory of God, to be used of God, to be a great man of God, a judge over Israel. And yet, he had to make choices. If you're a Christian here today, we could say, God has given you every reason to have spiritual victory and blessing in your life, and yet we have to make choices. Samson went down to Timnath. He started in the wrong place. And he saw there this young lady of the daughter of the Philistines. Might I suggest, as you go on your way, some of you are going to develop special friendships with unsaved individuals, people who are not God's people. And you're going to try and develop those relationships and maybe into special relationships with the idea that maybe they are my significant other for time to come. I want to start by saying we're in the wrong place, we're looking at the wrong people, we're making bad choices. With Samson, this was not a one-off choice. I want you to follow through as he tells his father and mother in verse 2 that she's pretty special. We read there, he came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife." He's pretty direct. He knows what he wants, doesn't he? Then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? How is it that you not once, not twice, but constantly are working towards the wrong end of the spectrum? You're looking in the wrong places. You're making bad choices." Samson started off by making bad choices. Now, perhaps Samson felt impregnable. He felt strong. He felt like he could do it. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And there'll be times in your lives, young people, where you think, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. Get down to verse number 9. We'll skip past there. Let's go over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And we read, things never went well with that young lady, by the way. He went home after that, and after they got engaged, she married somebody else who he thought was his friend. Great friends that he was choosing. Things weren't going so well for old Samson. Verse number 1 of chapter 16, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. Now, a harlot is a lady of ill repute, and she went in, he was defiled with her. I would suggest to you that when we start making bad choices, they grow. There's a progression of choices in our lives. What starts, you may think, as a sideways look, may grow to an affection. It grows to a love for something, and ultimately it'll lead you down a pathway which perhaps you never anticipated right from the beginning. When you make choices, we need to be very careful that our choices are wise choices for our lives. Well, that ended up going badly. The Philistines came to get Samson, and he ended up carrying the city walls out on his shoulders and leaving them up on the top of the hill and escaping from them. But choices were going southward. And then we get into chapter 16 and verse number 4. And we read there, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Again, she was a Philistine. He had developed a hankering after these Philistine girls. I wonder what made them desirable for him. Well, maybe they weren't as regimented as the Jewish girls. Maybe they weren't as disciplined. Maybe they just did whatever they felt like doing, and that was fun for Samson. You know, you're going to see worldly people, girls if you're guys, or guys if you're girls, who will break the rules, and you think that's exciting. And you think they're free. And you think you want freedom. And there's part of you like Samson that says, I just want to break off all the ties that hold me here, and I want to be a free man, do whatever I please. Don't tell me you've never thought, I want to break free from the rules. I'm being pressured by rules. I think that goes through everybody's head at some stage in their lives. I want to break free. And in breaking free, we actually don't realize. But what follows bad choices like this is inevitably chains. I want you to follow through as we look in Samson's life, that his choices led inevitably to chains in his life. What he thought was making him free actually entangled him and brought him into bondage. From when he first crossed the line and then continued through, and it compounded in his life and then consolidated itself into a way of life, he had developed and established things which were a hindrance in his life. In Judges chapter 15, if you look there with me, we read there in verse number 9, the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Now, here they were come with all their armies, and they weren't just there to fight against Israel. They were there for a more specific reason. They wanted Samson. We're going to come and get Samson. You say, well, why did the Philistines want Samson? Well, we already mentioned something about walking away with the city gates. That, you know, if you don't want people chasing you down, you don't steal their city gates and carry them up to the top of the hill and leave them up there, bar and all. That's just not going to go down well. And besides that, when he came and got engaged to that young lady that ended up being given to his friend, he came and he decided, well, I've got to get these Philistines back. So he decided, I'll just catch some foxes, 300 of them. We'll tie them two in a pair to each other so they don't know which way they're going. And we'll light up their tails and set them at in between the stalks of corn, and they'll run through and burn all the cornfields down. Now, that'll make you good friends, won't it? Samson's choices were impacting other choices. And if you think I can have one choice over here, and it's my little thing which I go away from God with, but everything else is still godly, you're mistaken. It starts to impact our whole lives. It wasn't long, and when they came up after him, the Bible says he slew them hip and thigh. Well, that didn't go down real well. He just slaughtered them. So they came up again, and we read in Judges 15 and verse 11, then 3,000 men of Judah, his own people, went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? You can't do this to your rulers. Now, I want to suggest to you something is beginning to happen in Samson's life. What he thought was freedom is starting now to press in a little bit on him. It's just starting to cave in. The walls are closing in. Things are getting a little bit tighter. He thought he was free, but now he's not as free as he thought. And he's like, well, I've got reason for it. I just did to them what they did to me, kind of. So they came to get him in verse number 14. Well, why don't we read from verse 10? The men of Judah said, why are you come up against us to the Philistines? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up. I want you to just take that phrase, to bind Samson. Samson's endeavors for liberty brought him only bondage. Where he made bad choices, he soon ended up in chains. It was the inevitable that was coming to him, to bind Samson. They come up. Well, we move through to the most known part of the story when he develops his friendship with Delilah. He goes over to Delilah's place, and unbeknownst to Samson, the Philistines have been in her ear. What did they ask her to do? I want you to find out what makes him so strong, and we want you to enable us to destroy him. So in chapter 6, we read it, Delilah says to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, guys, if somebody said to you, how do you think we'd be able to bind you so that you couldn't get out of it and we could afflict you, wouldn't that send off some alarms? Yeah. There should be something going, that doesn't sound really positive to me. I think I might avoid that line of questioning, or maybe avoid that individual. You know, if they want to afflict me, that's just not what we're after. But you know what? When the alarm bells were going off, he put the earmuffs on and he said, I'm still going on with these choices. And he found that the chains just got stronger and stronger. So Samson tells her in verse number 7, read with me. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Now the green with was just a piece of like a gourd or mental blank. They tie mental blanks together and they make like a cord out of it. And so he said, if you take a bunch of these, take 7 of them and tie me up, make sure they're fresh off the vine. Vine was the word I was looking for. Then you'll be able to tie me up and I'll just be as weak as anybody. We know that wasn't true. But you know what? He was talking about bondage. He was speaking of it as if it was irrelevant, as if it could never happen to him, as if he could never be in chains that would hold him. Of course, she organizes that. She ties him in them. And then she cries out in verse number 9, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." They're hiding in the cupboard, waiting to see what will happen. And he just breaks them and walks away, doesn't he? The reality, though, is his box is getting smaller. His walls are enclosing on him. He is being entrapped by choices that he's made. Sinful choices lead to bondage in our lives. I want you to turn over to verse number 12. Delilah has a little complaint session. "You haven't been honest with me. You told me those things could hold you, those widths. And you're lying through me. You really don't love me."
"Oh, yes, I love you, dear."
"Yes. Well, you need to tell me how you can be bound so that you can be afflicted." Put on the earmuffs again. I can hear that those bells ringing again. I don't want to hear those. So we find in verse 12, Delilah took new ropes and bound him therewith. This was the next thing. Ropes, proper well-made ropes. We'll take a bunch of those. We'll tie you up with those. And then she said the same thing. "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Again, all the bells should have been ringing. But he just walked out and broke those ropes because of his strength. He could go on his way. And was unaware that there were even Philistines there. He was unaware of the danger. Young people, you think you can get away with sinning against God, with choosing flesh over the spirit and have it not impact your life? Fleshly living impacts Christian living every time, every time. The more often we walk in the flesh, the more that fleshly endeavor will control our lives. Well, Delilah wouldn't quit. In verse number 13, she asked Samson again, and he told her. But this time, he said, "Well, look, if you weave my hair into the weaver's beam, then I'll be just like anybody else." Of course, he's getting a little bit closer, isn't he, to the reality of what was noted of his distinct strength in his hair there. So she wove them in, and verse number 14 tells us she fastened it with the pin and cried again, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and the web. Unfazed. He's in chains and he doesn't even know it. He's wrapped up and bound in this thing, and yet he doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to consider the reality that he's endangering his own life, certainly his walk, and most definitely his testimony because of the choices that he's making. Poor choices? Well, that leads to chains in our lives. It begins in compromise, and then it constricts us, it confines us, it cramps our Christian walk, and before we know it, we're all bound up. I would suggest to you that by this time, Samson was completely bound. Not with withes, not with ropes, not even with weaver's beams. He was bound up in his own choices and his own sin. And those things he couldn't break free from. We come through to the third thought tonight, and that is a challenge. There's a challenge here in verse number 20. We read this final time. He's just told her where his strength really lies. Where was it? It was his hair, wasn't it? And she said, he told her that, and so she organized and got a hairdresser to come and visit while he was asleep and cut his 7 locks of his hair off. And then verse number 20, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Well, has he heard these words before? Many times over. They don't really mean much. There's never been Philistines. Or has there? Actually, there were Philistines every time. They just didn't show themselves. There was danger every time. It just didn't reveal itself. And you think that sin does not come with danger in the cupboards, but it does. It may not be visible, it might not be seen, but hiding in the cupboards with every poor choice is the Philistines of bondage, which want to ruin our lives and destroy our testimonies. Be careful, they're there. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. I want you to notice this next phrase, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't realize that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't realize that when you flick the switch that turns the evangelist off, when you flick the switch which turns you from spirit to flesh, that the power of God is gone from you. He thought he could walk in the flesh and still have power. You see, for the first time, Samson realized that the strength was not in his hair, but it was in his God. His God gave him strength to do incredible things. His separation to God gave him the power of God and enabled him to fulfill God's purpose. But he hadn't realized that. Verse number 21, we read, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. For the first time, the chains felt real. For the first time, he realized, I cannot break free from this place. There's nothing I can do. I mean, here's a guy that's just used to, you just bust out of it, whatever it is. You know, some of you guys, if the little kids come up and they go to get you, you can play with them for a while and then you go, flick, they're gone. You know, they go flying through the air. That's okay. You go on your way and do whatever you're doing. It was fun having a wrestle with your little brother or whoever it is for a while, but when they're annoying, they're gone. And you can do that until they get bigger. And then you can't. I used to do that with my children. And then I couldn't. Can you imagine me picking on Philip now? He'd go flick and I'd go flying through the air. Things change. And with Samson, things changed and he lost the power that he'd had. The challenge was he never had the power of God on his life. This was the beginning of the end for Samson. He would realize that the wages of sin is death, and it never changed. And this would end up destroying his life. Young people, you make choices every day. You make choices about obeying your parents or obeying authorities. You make choices about what you're looking at. You make choices about where you're going. You make choices about who your friends are going to be. You're making choices about who's the special guy or girl that you're going to try and get to know. You make choices about the way you talk, whether you talk kindly to others or harshly or carelessly with others. You make choices in all of those things every day and think that those choices don't matter. Oh, believe me, choices lead to chains, and chains bring us to that challenge of the final realization that we are out of control and without the power of God. That's not where you want to be found. If ever there was a guy that should have made a difference, it was Samson. He had everything going for him. But the strong man now realized that he was very much weak. What was his failure? Well, it wasn't the hair. It was much more than his hair. It was his self-life. Choosing to live in the self. The hair, just a symbol of his separation to the Lord. He thought he could deny all of that. self-made man, going forth in self-will, for self-glory. He was self-serving. I've seen a lot of young people over the years. I've worked with young people for many years. Sadly, what we see in a lot of young people is self-will, self-glory, self-serving. In fact, it creeps in and knocks on the doors of every one of our lives. It's the self-life. You've got it. You've probably heard the nudge from the self that says, we want to do this, when you know you should do that. You've probably realized those times where you've felt the pressures closing in because you've given way to the self-life. But like we said in the beginning, aren't you thankful that God is gracious to sinful people if we're willing to change? Yes, it starts with choices. It moves into chains. It'll get to a point of challenge in your life, and that's God's final plea with us. I want to look at this subject of change. Would you look at me, look with me there, please, in Judges 16, please, and verse number 22. Judges 16 and verse number 22. And there we read the word, howbeit. Howbeit. It's like the word, but, which means even though this was a reality, and even though these were true, and even though he'd given himself to all of that, here is an alternative. Howbeit, I am so thankful that God doesn't say, well, you made a bad choice, that's the end of you. Off with his head. You're gone. God doesn't deal with us that way. I hope that didn't break. God is gracious. God is looking for a man who is willing to come in repentance and get things right again. God is looking for young people who are willing to get it right. There needs to be change. Notice in Judges chapter 16 and verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. Yes, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow, but remember, it wasn't the hair that gave him strength. The hair reminded him of his commitment to God. And when Samson came to seeking God as he put his hands on those two pillars in the temple, he wasn't now saying, I can do this. He was saying, God, I need you to enable me to do this. Something's changed. Now, I would suggest to you that Samson didn't come as far as I would have liked for him to come. Samson is still, he's still controlled by a little bit of me. He's like, well, let me get back at the Philistines because of my eyes and for my life that they've taken from me. He's a little bit me-consumed. But at least he recognizes there this principle that this is about God and not just about me. Young people, we need to get out of the me world. We need to get beyond just I can do what I please and get away with it and recognize that God wants to restore sinful young people to fellowship with himself. I want to just take a couple of thoughts here as we get to the end of this story. In verse number 30, we read the conclusion of Samson's life as he cries out to God and gives his last efforts to make a difference. I want you to notice that last statement that God gives us in Samson's life. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Read it with me, would you? So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now here's the strong guy, the guy that when they come to get him, he goes off and kills them hip and thigh. He just slaughters the enemy. At different times, there are different ones that are killed. In one sitting, He finds the jawbone of an ass, and with the jawbone of an ass, he kills 1,000 men. He's a guy who's, well, man, he defeated a lot of the enemy, didn't he? But what does this verse tell us? He killed more when he died than when he was alive. You know what that teaches us? I want you to get a principle here. Samson was worth more dead than he was alive. He did more in his death than he ever could have in his life. Now, I think God wrote that there so that we learn a principle. When my self-life is active and I'm alive, I'm of no use to God. Might go to church, might even read my Bible. I might even try and go to outreach and go and share the gospel with people. But you think I'm going to be effective for God when I'm in the flesh? No, God can't bless that. God can't honor that. Do you think I'm going to enjoy fellowship with God while I'm in the flesh? That's not going to happen. It's an uphill road. It's a dead-end street. You know, if you want to break out of that, there's only one place to do it. Scripture talks about dying to self. Paul said, I die daily. When he died, he became effective. When he gave up on his life and said, I'm not hanging on to me anymore, that's the end of that. I'm going to die to self. God used him to do greater things than he'd ever done with all of his strength. So I ask you a question. Do you want to do better? It's where we started. Do you want to do better? Are there times where you're not doing as good as you could do? Well, I would trust that we would be dying to do better. It's the only way you'll ever do better. In your Christian life, it's when you die to yourself. When the flesh says, we want to do this, and you know that's not pleasing to God, you're going to have to say, Lord, help me to die to that so that I might live unto God, that I might live in a manner pleasing to you. See, the principle which God teaches us is that victory is found in defeat, life is found in death, power is found in weakness, strength is found in submission. You think you can go and put forth yourself and show the world that you're a somebody, and you all of a sudden get wrapped up in the bondage of your own self-life, and you become ineffective in the service of God. But if you would submit to God's authorities, walk with God, die to self, you'll find that you can live to God, you can have spiritual victory, and God will use you to do more than ever you could have done when you're trying to make yourself something. Dying to do better. You know, I don't always wear this tie because it's getting a bit tatty now. But every time I wear it, it reminds me. I'm not my own. I've got choices to make. I can walk in the spirit or I can walk in the flesh. God needs to be an open reality in my life, not hidden, not put away. The choices that I make, they need to reflect the reality that I am His. I am God's. I want you to think of three quick things we've just mentioned which will direct your life. On the one hand, it will be self-will. On the other, it will be submission. Self-will or submission? You're going to be following the pathway of one of those things. Self-will, that's going to lead you right down the pathway of chains. It will be self-glory or the glory of God. What do you want for your life? You want to be something, make yourself something? Or you want to have a great God and worship Him? It really isn't that hard. It's quite simple. We come down to a simple reality. Either you want to honor God or you want to honor yourself. But it doesn't get further than that. Either we are self-serving or we are the servants of God. Who are you going to serve? Paul said, so then death worketh in us. We chose death. It was a part of life so that we could live and serve God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go out and deny my Lord. I don't want to be like Peter, who denied the Lord. I want to be one who is an open testimony of the grace of God in my life. Bad choices bring chains. Till God brings the challenge, we need to come to a point where we're willing to change. And that's going to be by dying to self. I hope you're willing to die to yourself. Why don't we close in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we thank you that we have the living testimony, the Word of God, which demonstrates through Samson's life what one could have been and yet how he wasted what could have been a great life of power, a great life of influence. He wasted it on selfish endeavor, selfish dreams. And Father, we pray for each one here that you'd stir each heart, that we might not be given to selfish endeavors and selfish dreams and selfish living, but we might be willing to be yielded to you, our God. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to think with yourself today. Are you a Samson? Seeking freedom, but actually finding bondage? You don't want to live there. If that's you today, and you would say, Pastor, I'm in chains, but I don't want to stay in chains. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Every eye closed. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be free of those chains. Amen. Thank you. Yes. There are some who would say, I'm struggling with choices. Yes, they're always there, but I'm making poor choices. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me as I make different choices in my life? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. God stirred your hearts. You've been honest. And that's a beginning. God wants to bring about change. So I ask you, as we begin the week here, are you willing to let God change you? Are you willing to let go of your own life? It's going to require death to self if God has his way to bring change in your life. Father, we ask for each who have raised their hand. Some who have recognized poor choices developing in their lives. Some who have recognized even the chains of those things on their lives. Lord, we know that these things are they're the reality of every Christian. And yet we ask for these who have been moved of God, we ask that you'd give them grace to overcome, to die to self, to choose Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'd enable them day by day in the simple things to make godly choices and to honor you. We pray for grace daily to enjoy spiritual victory. And Lord, we ask that you'd enable them to overcome. We're thankful that in Christ Jesus there is power and there is victory. And we ask that you'd bring each one to a walk of victory with you, that they might be used of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.